If you love what you hear, check out our authors Andrea Stewart and N.A. Fulton on Amazon.com, and be sure to subscribe to our Dark Romance Novels and Stories podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast provider. Learn more about us at audioiron.com.
Love great stories well told? Visit audioiron.com to find the best in audio fiction. Chapter 1. Elizabeth Beckenham gave the stays a hard jerk and tied them as quickly as she was able. Then she slipped several feet away from Diana and watched her pull the measuring tape around her tightly corseted waist once again.
22 inches? Not 2 weeks ago I was only 19.
Diana's blonde curls fell forward across her flushed face as she once again turned, grasped the edge of the bureau, and thrust her linen-swathed hips out and back.
We must go again. Everyone pull.
Alice, her face still bright red from the fierce slap delivered just seconds past, crept forward. Elizabeth didn't move. She couldn't bring herself to repeat the scene. No matter how they might pull, that tape would never say 19. Diana's head whipped around to look at Elizabeth, her bright blue eyes venomous.
Diana, what can you be?
Like guilty children, Elizabeth, Diana and Alice looked toward the bedroom door.
Why have you not come?
Irene, a tall, slender, more feral version of her daughter, threw open the bedroom door and stormed into the room. Dressed in the bell-shaped silver and grey gown, surely the most expensive in her closet, she looked furious. Diana held up the measuring tape as if it was some kind of defense.
I cannot.
What? What are you talking about? He will be here within the hour.
Irene snatched up the tape measure and threw it on the floor.
Nothing will fit. I am grown too big. I am too fat to fit in all these new clothes.
There was so much to explain, thought Elizabeth as she backed toward the door, and these two were so disinclined to listen. The dresses would fit, if only Diana would put them on. But, like a simpleton, after the dresses had been delivered this morning, the girl had measured her waist with a leftover length of marked ribbon dropped by a seamstress. Now she was distraught that her waist was not the fashionable 19 inches she had thought it to be. Now nothing would do but that her corset should be tightened enough to let her waist reach the measurement she remembered. Of course, perhaps the truth was Diana feared being sold to the highest bidder simply to suit her parents' interests, and putting on a beautiful dress to meet with a total stranger was taking a significant step in that unthinkable direction.
Do not be ridiculous. You will wear the blue dress. Put it on.
I tell you it will not fit.
Elizabeth snatched up a length of white ribbon and slipped out the door. Darting down the corridor, she paused at the top of the front staircase to survey the front hall. Mercifully, there was no one there. Elizabeth raced down the stairs and into the library. All she had to do was come up with a ribbon to replace the one in Diana's hand. She'd have no excuse left then. Elizabeth crossed the huge oriental carpet to Irene's desk, took up the only pen and inkwells she knew of in the house, and moved to one of the two large upholstered armchairs facing one another near the fire. She sat, then balanced the inkwell on the arm of the chair. Holding the ribbon in her hand, she dipped her pen in ink and began marking off generous inches. As she worked, she reflected that this was now, without a doubt, the only attractive room in the house, and it was the one that almost never seemed to have Widdams in it. Then again, that was its chief attraction. Widdams had no interest in books, or in conversation, or in the stacks of letters from creditors that always waited on Irene's desk. The fashion was to have a library in which to receive guests, and so of course the Widdams had one. But this long narrow room with its tall glass windows looked out onto the front garden, and even on days like today, when rain poured from the sky in buckets, it looked beautiful. Smooth, sturdy tables of stained oak held a Bible and dictionary, and long ago when Elizabeth had been something other than a servant, she had read many a book on the horsehair couch. It was a warm room when the fire was lit, as it was now, and it was one of the two fireplaces in the house that didn't smoke. Elizabeth began numbering the lines she had drawn on her tape. 1, 2, 3, 4. A heavy rain and a rattle of the windows made her look up. Surely that suitor they had all been expecting would have the good sense not to arrive on time. London was the home of the fashionably late. A low crack of thunder chased the thought away, and she hurried to finish her work. In 2 minutes she would be back upstairs. Elizabeth heard the door behind her open, and surprise made her reach to hide the inkwell on the arm of the chair. To her dismay, it toppled into her lap and she leapt up without thinking. She couldn't ruin yet another gown. She only had three to her name. The offending inkwell dropped onto the carpet and a black spurt of India ink shot out across the bright red wool. "Oh, for the love of God," said Elizabeth. She kicked the inkwell into the fire and turned to survey the damage to the chair and the floor. The sound of glass scraping against glass made her look up. There, near the windows, the most handsome man Elizabeth had ever seen was pouring himself a whiskey. Raven hair, deep brown eyes, the perfectly balanced features of an angel, the hard physique of a gladiator, he eyed her.
"You are dripping,"
he said, looking pointedly at the floor beneath her feet. Elizabeth looked down to see ink running down her yellow dress to fall off the hem of her gown. She took a quick step back onto the brick hearth to protect the carpet from further humiliation and heard the man laugh. She looked up and glared at the caller. Of course she must look ridiculous, red hair falling from the confinement of too few pins, an ill-fitting dress streaked with ink, worn shoes and dirty stockings. Suddenly, fiercely, she wanted them both dead. As if he heard her thoughts, the caller's face became grim, and then he was striding toward her. She took a step back, appalled.
"Come here, you ridiculous girl,"
he said as he came within arm's reach. In one motion he sat in the armchair, jerked her over his knee, and began pounding her bottom and legs hard enough that it hurt despite the wads of cloth covering them.
"Stop. Let me go at once."
She writhed and twisted in his iron grip, finally reaching up and behind her to claw at his face.
"Hold still, you little idiot."
He dropped her on her backside, rolled her over, put a knee into her back and continued to beat at her legs until they felt like they were on fire. She began screaming when he lifted her skirts. Elizabeth heard the library door open, heard the rush of voices. Despite the arrival of witnesses, the madman continued to strike Elizabeth while she struggled ineffectually to stop him. When he finally let her go, she rolled away and sat on the floor staring up at him in disbelief.
"You were on fire, you little fool. The next time you decide to bathe in ink, I suggest you not set yourself alight as you try to burn the evidence,"
he said sharply. He looked furious and blood dripped onto his collar from where she had scraped his face. Elizabeth looked down at her gown, eyes taking in the scorched fabric wrapped around her legs. Only now was she aware of the bitter smell of burned linen. Warwick, the widow's taciturn butler, stepped past the caller. He jerked Elizabeth to her feet and shoved her out of the room past a mortified Diana and a furious Lady Widham. Voice recording copyright 2020 by Nancy Fulton. All rights reserved. Music by Johnny Blake, licensed from Pond5. Visit audioand.com to find the best in audio fiction.